you, Ms. Clark. I hope you have your Bibles today because we have a real treat for the Mormon as experienced. He's been in the saddle a couple times, amen? And I'm always blessed every time he comes and preaches. We're so thankful to have you with us today, my brother. You come and preach to us, and I appreciate his heart for missions, amen? And I appreciate our heart for missions as a church, but this man right here has a heart for missions as well, and he'll share it with you today. I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks again for the privilege, Pastor, to be here in your pulpit. I count it a real honor. I'm going to have Brother Joel come. He's from the Philippines. He's from the island of Mindanao, the most southern island, and where all the Muslim radicals abide. And he's going to take a few moments and tell you how he was saved and what God's been doing through him. So,
good morning, church. Thank you so much for the health ministries and pastor. I'm Joel Elorta from Mindanao, Philippines, part of Zamboanga del Norte. I got saved April 20, 1998. Honestly, my pastor, Pastor Mayo, is the one sent me in the field. He prayed for me to become a pastor, but in my mind and heart, I will not go to the field. I pursue my college degree, BS Criminology. I want to become a police officer. I finish it, and I take 3 times exam, but God did not allow me to pass the exam. So I said to my pastor, "Pastor, I'm ready to go." And that's why, by the grace of God, I serve in the Lord 12 years. The name of my wife, I have one wife only. Leia Violet Elorta, 13 years in marriage, but God did not allow, God give not a child. But by the grace of God, I have 120 children right now because I have school ministries by the grace of God. That school is free. My mom, she is a Catholic, and my father, he is a Catholic defender. And me also, I work in the Catholic. I am the Judas Iscariot there when we celebrate before in the Holy Friday. My mom paid the priest so that the priest will go in our house. And the priest visit in my house, and he knocked in my room, and he sprinkled the so-called holy water for me, because they believe that I am become crazy, because I always read the Bible and make fasting. I am so sad for that, but I said to the Lord, I'll be faithful to Him. And 1 year, my papa and mama and 2 sisters got saved by the glory of God. And my papa said, "Now I know, son, that your God is a true God. Now I know, son, that your God can change lives." Because before I got saved, I sell drugs. That's my business. And I use drugs. And I have a group of gangs. By the grace of God, God sent a missionary. And by the grace of God, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. And right now, we have 2 churches. One in a proper city, and the one also in the village, in the mountain. People there most of them did not experience use shoes and slipper. And most of them did not know how to read and write. But glory to God, because we have school ministry, their children know how to read and write. And their children now is the one teach them to write and read their names. Amen. So sad for that family there, because their pastor before, their religion before, the pastor said when they worship, especially Sunday night, they will off the light and they will close the door. And the family of the pastor, the wife and their children, especially the female, will go out, and all the members, especially the women, the pastor will touch all the women there, and the women all become pregnant. So sad for that. But by the grace of God, most of the members there, they got saved through the Lord Jesus Christ because of our ministry. And 2019, God tested my heart. Our school building and church building was burned by Muslims, because we surrounded Muslims also. That's why we experience to worship God under the tree. But God answered my prayer. After 1 month, we built a school building so that we can continue the school ministries, so that we can continue also to reach the Muslims' children. And we call it a multi-purpose, because Wednesday night, Sunday morning and night, we have service. And we have also a Bible college. So me and my wife also, we stay there. And right now we are praying that God answer, that we build a small room or parsonage so that we can separate to the students. And I believe that you will not go there, everyone, but I believe that you can go in our place through your knees by prayer. Please pray for me and my wife. And by the way, we have 3 schools ministries, and the school is different places. We have a Bible study every Saturday on that place. And I pray to the Lord that through that school ministry, we can build another churches, and so that we can reach the unreachable people in our place, Mindanao. Thank you so much, church, and thank you, Pastor. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Joel. And we also have Brother John Paul from Haiti. You'll want to hear his testimony sometime. He was kidnapped by thugs and held for ransom and barely got out alive. So you'll want to hear his testimony sometime if you haven't already. Let me just, if I might, say a little bit about your faith promise. I won't take long. I know you've been schooled in that a lot, but I'm going to read a verse for you out of 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3. It says, "For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." And as I read that and think about faith promise, it talks about their power, my power. What is the power? It's your ability, my ability to give. I have a certain financial resource that I get from Social Security every month that gives me the ability to give to faith promises. And then it says, beyond their power. Well, what is that? That's God's ability. So I don't want to shortchange my faith promise by just sitting down with my wife and I and going over our budget and seeing how much we can give based on our ability, because we have a Father in heaven who has unlimited ability and power, and we can trust him by faith. And I come here every year and I see that you folks do a fantastic job on that. And I'm with your pastor. I hope that you'll do even more. I was going through don't you just love Spectrum and Dish and Verizon and T-Mobile? I was going through ours the other day, and good night. We spend $230 a month on our trinkets just to get Spectrum and Dish and T-Mobile. You know what? My wife and I were looking at that, and thank God, God has enabled us to give more than that to missions every month. Now, that's not a whole lot, but I just thank God, and I don't know what your giving is. That's between you and the Lord, like your pastor says, but could I challenge you to give more to the Lord than you do to Verizon and Spectrum and T-Mobile and Dish TV. Could I just challenge us to do more than that? Now, you may already be doing it, and thank God if you are. Don't be like this guy I had in my church in Maryland. Pastor already got on Cadillacs. This guy drove a new Cadillac all the time. He had money. He had a nice home there in Wheaton, Maryland. He would tell me on some occasions, three or four times, he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, this morning I got up and I took my checkbook and I went down into the basement. Now, you folks that have lived here all your life, you don't know what a basement is. Would you get one of the folks that have come down, a snowbird that knows what a basement is, and they can tell you what he did. Anyhow, he said, I went down into the basement, I checked book. He said, I argued with God about what I was going to give to the church this morning. I've always had a secret desire for a Cadillac. I'm not knocking Cadillacs either. You got a Cadillac. Cadillac, God bless you for it, no problem. But how would you like to meet God with an attitude like that? That I argued with God about how much I was going to give to his church that Jesus Christ died for. As you give and allow your church to take on more missionaries, God bless you. Put treasure in heaven. There's a whole world that needs to be won to Christ. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we do that by missions. Thank God for missions. Turn now with me, please, to Luke chapter 15. I want to speak to you this morning as quickly as I may, and I'll try to make it as brief as I can. When heaven rejoices, and that's what we're all about here today, when heaven rejoices. Luke chapter 15, find verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I love that verse. Thank God he does. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, what? Rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, before I got saved, I didn't understand my wife's nagging me to go to church. I just didn't get it. Before I got saved, I didn't understand why this coworker I had at the Tampa Post Office always brought up the subject of Jesus Christ. I didn't understand it. So I drug my feet. I resisted my wife's pleading to go to church with her. What's all the fuss about? Why should I do more to help missionaries? In one of the greatest chapters of your Bible, in Luke 15, Jesus tells three stories: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. At the end of each one of the stories, Jesus describes a party. He describes a celebration going on in heaven when one sinner repents.
The shepherd throws a party for his lost, now found sheep. The woman throws a party for her lost coin, now found. The father throws a party in honor of the lost, now found son. Three parables, each with a party. Three stories, each with the appearance of the same words. Joy, rejoice, make merry, be glad. When the housewife found her coin, she says, rejoice with me, I found the coin that I lost. Probably was part of her dowry. It was very important in the home. The shepherd found the sheep, threw it on his shoulder, and took it home and said, rejoice with me, I found the sheep. And the father, the prodigal son, explains to the reluctant brother, we had to celebrate, we had to rejoice, because your brother was dead, but now he's alive. The point is clear. Jesus and heaven are happiest when a lost man gets found. For him, for the Lord, no moment compares to the moment when somebody says, Lord, I believe. I receive you as my Savior. When one person consents to be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and begins his journey home, and then heaven pours the punch, strings the streamers, throws the confetti, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God when a sinner repents. Now, how do we explain such joy? Why the fuss? What's the excitement about? Why are they stirred up? We're not talking about a whole nation getting saved here. We're not talking about a whole city getting saved. We're talking about one person, because God is not willing that any man perish. That's right. Who would imagine you giving and somebody going to a mission field and winning people to Jesus Christ? Who could imagine how that would stir heaven to the point that there is rejoicing in the presence of God and the angels? Now, the rest of our activities in heaven are just humdrum. Oh, you graduated from college, did you? So? You got a new job, wonderful. Heaven doesn't even notice. You know, our greatest actions here on earth, I think largely in heaven, go unnoticed. Do we think God pays attention to everything in our life as much as he does to a sinner getting saved? You know, if somebody doesn't cut your obituary out of the paper and stick it in a Bible somewhere, in just a few years you're going to be forgotten, and so am I. But our obedience to obeying the Great Commission and going into the world and telling everybody about Jesus Christ pulls the bell string in heaven. Let a sinner repent, and every other activity in heaven ceases, and they have a party. Amen. Remarkable, this response to our conversion. I don't know of any other event in the Bible that causes all the stir. I don't know of any other thing going on in heaven that gets heaven excited like a lost boy being found. And you know what? Somebody can get saved in our presence and we hardly give it a holy grunt. Somebody can be saved and we make no to-do about it. We're not as excited, not nearly as excited. And this is an area in my life I'm sure needs great improvement. I ought to rejoice like they do in heaven when a sinner comes to Christ. Oh, we may be pleased, but not exuberant. Well, why do Jesus and the angels rejoice over one repenting sinner? Can they see something we don't see when a sinner gets saved? Do they know something we don't know? Absolutely. I'm going to give you two things quickly. I believe that heaven rejoices when somebody gets saved because they in heaven know what heaven's all about. You and I have some faint idea, but folks, we have not scratched the surface of the grandeur, the greatness, the wonders in heaven. But they're there, they know. And you know what? They're waiting in heaven for your arrival. When you got saved, you began a spiritual journey that will culminate in heaven. I love this verse. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The moment I trusted Jesus as my Savior, there was a party in heaven, because they knew that when I died and got to heaven, I would be made just perfect. Just perfect. Now, my wife has trouble with that. If you're going to heaven, you're God's masterpiece. You will love with a perfect love. You will worship with a perfect heart. You will hear every word God speaks. Your heart will be pure. Your words will be like jewels. Your thoughts will be like treasures. You will be like Jesus Christ. You will at long last be rid of the old nature, the old man that you battle with every day. You will be totally changed. And if that's not enough, arguments will cease. Jealousy will no longer exist. Every sin is gone. Every fear is past. No weeds, no anger, no lust, no fear. No wonder the angels rejoice when a sinner is saved. I think some of the excitement in heaven is they realize how blessed you're going to be one day when you get there. And lastly, because they know that when that sinner got saved, they escaped hell. You have a loved one you've been praying for and they got saved. They not only are going to be with you in heaven, but they escaped hell. Think on that for a moment. What is hell like? Well, one of the worst things about it, God isn't there. You think people could be cruel now? Imagine being someplace without the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. You think we're brutal to each other now, and we are brutal. Imagine the world without the Holy Spirit's influence. You think there's loneliness and despair and guilt now. Imagine living your life without the peace of God. Imagine no forgiveness, no hope, no acts of kindness, no words of love, nothing done to honor Christ. What would the world be like without God's influence? Well, in a word, be like hell. We need to go into the world, help send missionaries into the world to tell people, please, please don't die and go to hell. I am confident one of the reasons that I got saved is that my wife finally drugged me to a preacher that preached on hell. And I didn't want to go there. Jesus said, there's only one sound in hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you begin to see why the angels might have rejoiced when a sinner repented? Jesus knows what awaits the saved, and he also knows what awaits the condemned. We need the eternal view of the world, the biblical view of the world. Our view can be so narrow and focused on our own lives, we don't have the perspective that God really loves the whole world. You know, when the Titanic was sinking, over 2,200 people were cast into the frigid waters of the North Atlantic. On shore, when they began to put a list up of names, they had two columns: lost, saved, lost, saved. That's kind of how I believe God has a simple list like that. Our ledger is, well, is he rich? What color is their skin? Is she pretty? Did they go to college? These matters, I don't think they're relevant to God. To have a heart like his is to look into the face of the world and to see that they need what you have been privileged to have, Jesus Christ. I prayed 24 years for my dad, an alcoholic, to get saved. 24 years. I prayed 24 years for my mother to get saved. My three sons heard in family devotions year after year after year, please save grandma, please save grandpa. And it wasn't so much that I wanted them to go to heaven. I wanted them to go to heaven, but it was more, I don't want them to go to hell. Christ is coming back. Charles Spurgeon said, it is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. I'll repeat that. It is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. How are we going to do it? With nationals and with the American missionaries, the other missionaries sent from other countries, they need our support. Amen. If we can't go, we older people can send them. We can help them. So my challenge is simple. Let's ask God to give us that eternal view of the world. Every person I meet is going to die. Is that true? Yes. They're going to go to heaven or hell. Is that true? Yes. Do I have the message they need?
Yes.
I do. Then God help me to tell them what somebody told me.
Amen.
About Jesus Christ. Why should we be more faithful to the Lord's house? Because God saved us. We get to go to heaven. We escaped hell. We ought to be faithful to a God like that. Why should we tithe and give missionary offerings? Because God saved us. God is taking us to heaven for all eternity, and we don't have to go to hell. Where we lived in Maryland, across the street and about four houses down from us, lived a widow
by the name of Shirley. She was always going to come. We invited her numerous times. She went to another church. She said, "I'm going to come one day, preacher." Years went by, and we learned she had lung cancer. We learned from one of the neighborhood gossips that she was fading fast. So I said, "Honey, tonight we're going down to Shirley's." So we walked across the street and down half a block to her house. We could hear a little weak voice inside saying, "Come in." I opened the door. There she sat on a couch in her living room, all bundled up in a blanket. My wife and I stepped in. I said, "Shirley, we want to tell you about Jesus Christ so you can be sure you're going to go to heaven." She said, "I have been waiting on you to come. I have been waiting on you to come." She sweetly prayed with me that night to ask Jesus into her heart. About 2 weeks later, she was taken to a nursing home. My wife and I went twice, and I read some scriptures, and my wife sang for her, and I prayed, and then she was gone. Somebody is waiting for us. If you can't go, send somebody that can.
Would you bow your head with me and stand to your feet? As the musicians come this morning, the message this morning no doubt touched your heart. If you know you're on your way to heaven, then boy, what else could we do that would bring joy to God other than give or go? If you're here and you don't have joy because you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this morning the invitation is for you to step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle. And I'll meet you here in the front, and we'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Whether God has spoken to you to step out and pray and just pray for world missions, or whether He's called you to step out and receive Him as your own Savior, you do what God has commanded you to do this morning, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God.
Close this morning. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and you just don't know what to do. The invitation is to you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just step out. Come down and meet me in the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. The choice this morning really is, when it's salvation, accepting Jesus, it's heaven or hell. You won't spend eternity in some other place. You'll spend eternity in one of those two places. And boy, I would like to be in heaven with the joy, the rejoicing that'll be for eternity. And that rejoicing can happen there today if you accept Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you need to be baptized. You've been saved, but you need to step out in obedience. Maybe you're here and you need to join a good church. You've visited, you've been here a lot. Maybe now it's time. God's speaking to your heart. You need to step out and join this local church, either through baptism or by statement. Whatever God is asking you to do, you listen to Him this morning and do it, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad that you came today, and I'm glad you got to hear from our missionary. You know what you ought to do? You ought to come back tonight. We're going to have Brother Knickerbocker and a couple more helps missionaries for you to hear from. And if you haven't been able to turn your card in, I definitely want you to come back tonight and turn that card in, because we're going to set the goal tonight, and we'll let you know exactly what that figure is, and we'll continue to press towards the goal that God gave us for 2022, and we'll set a brand new one for 2023 tonight. I hope that the Lord, you were blessed today. I couldn't help but think, brother, while you were preaching, I thought the whole time, I loved the message, but I thought about Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, that for the joy set before him, amen, that he endured the cross, despising the shame. And I thought, man, and he sat down upon his throne because he knew that person after person, there would be joy in heaven, the rejoicing in heaven, joy after joy after joy. And for that joy, he pressed on all the way to Calvary for you and for me. And so I think we can press on and be back tonight, couldn't we? Amen. If he could go to the cross, I can go to church. Amen. Amen. So that wasn't a guilt trip. I didn't pack your bags or anything, all right? But we really would love to see you back tonight as we set the goal, and we can rejoice together over what God is going to do through us the next year. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for what we've heard this morning. God, we thank you for the message, Lord. If there is one in the building that just couldn't bring themselves to step out during the invitation, that, Lord, I pray that they'd come to me and let me take the Bible and show them how they could know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. It would be the joy of my life to be able to take the Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our people. Give them safety as they go home their afternoon. But Lord, I pray you'd bring us back into this place tonight, that we might be able to rejoice together in what you're going to do on those cards. In Jesus' name, amen.